objective number one is to provide broadband connectivity to learning and research institutions in the country. And the cost of internet in Zambia was $5,000 to $6,000 per megabit, and that was quite exorbitant.
This is how you're bridging the gap between academic research and practical applications within the learning sector.
Exactly. We applaud them and we're grateful to them. Coming of Zamri now, students can have access to digital resources anywhere. We are a broker, a one-stop shop for all learners in Zambia. Farmers must have timely information to make decisions when to plant. Where do you keep that data as it increases?
Technogram focuses on latest technologies, solutions, and their potential to transform customer operations while enhancing partner businesses. The episodes include insightful sessions on reimagining the digital future.
Welcome to Technogram by Reddington. And today we have Stain Mukandavare, who's the CEO of Zambia Research and Education Network. Welcome, Stain.
Thank you very much. And welcome, viewers.
Thank you for joining us today. To begin off, can you tell me a little bit about what is Zamarin's key transformational objectives?
Thank you very much for that question. Zamarin stands for Zambia Research and Education Network. It was formed in 2007. Mm-hmm. It's a not-for-profit company, or I should say it's a company, it's a private company limited by guarantee, mm-hmm. meaning that it's not for profit. It was registered as a company incorporated in 2016. It's just got three objectives. Objective number one is to provide broadband connectivity to learning and research institutions in the country. Mm-hmm. That objective has been achieved, and we keep on improving on it to ensure that we provide enough internet connectivity to learners as well as researchers and academicians. Objective number two is to secure this connectivity and also to ensure that we interconnect institutions that we have connected so that they can share their digital resources. So within the country, we have to interconnect all the learning institutions, all the research institutions. Objective number three is to interconnect these learning institutions to the World Wide Web, as to the internet, and ensure that learners, researchers are able to collaborate with other researchers outside Zambia. And this objective also has been achieved. And so these are the three objectives why Zambia was established. In the first objective, I said to provide cost-effective connectivity to research and education institutions. And this is talking about the cost. Before the establishment of Zamarin, the cost of internet in Zambia was $5,000 to $6,000 per megabit per second. And that was quite exorbitant.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. But if you're looking at the way the cost is now, mm-hmm. with the operationalization of Zamarin, the cost of internet has come down to less than $30 per megabit per second. So we believe and we are living to say this objective has been achieved, has been actualized. But further than that, we want to see that the cost of this connectivity goes down to less than a dollar per megabit per second.
So how long ago was Zamarin established?
Zamarin was first registered in 2007, operationalized in 2012. So from 2012 to date, we are talking about 11 years. Is it 11 years?
No, I think 12
years. 12 years. So Zamarin has been in operation for the past 12 years.
So for more than a decade, right? How has Zamarin been helping students in their academic and professional journeys in Zambia?
You recall in my opening remarks, I talked about the cost of internet, mm-hmm. meaning that students were unable to access digital resources mm-hmm. because of lack of internet capacity to connect. As we are talking now, students are able now to have access to digital resources. Digital resources are not only or do not only reside in Zambia, they are spread worldwide. But with the coming of Zamri now, students can have access to digital resources anywhere, wherever they can have access to. So we are talking about us as Zamri partnering with other institutions and getting into the world of NRENs, National Research and Education Network, where resources have been made available. And these students now can have access to EduGain through identity management facilities that we have deployed. Not only that, we can also see that researchers are able now to collaborate within Zambia and outside Zambia through the establishment of Zamri.
Okay, so you explained about the three objectives on which Zamri was founded, right? And that was 12 years ago, and today you've kind of achieved most of those objectives. So what kind of commitment are you undertaking today to kind of transform the learning industry?
Thank you very much. You know, in 2019 to 2020, the whole world experienced COVID-19.
Transformed our lives.
And with the pandemic of COVID-19, it has brought in a lot of changes. Learning has changed.
Yes.
We are talking now about blended learning, where there's physical learning and there's also virtual learning. Now, what has Zamri done? With Zamri, what we've done is we have deployed internet in almost the 10 provinces of Zambia.
Okay.
Meaning that students now can have access to learning virtually.
Right.
We are a broker, a one-stop shop for all learners in Zambia. So we broker services that help students to undertake learning, not in a classroom, but they can also learn in their own rooms. We have an initiative in Zambia, which we call Taking Internet to Student Halls of Residence, meaning where students are living, we take internet there so students can learn from there. Because there are situations that may happen where a student might not be feeling well, or a student might be traveling or came back from any travels, and these students are tired, they can continue learning in their comfort zones, which are their rooms. So these are the initiatives that we have taken. Not only this, we have been able to deploy a service called EduRoam, Education Roaming. Education Roaming is a worldwide Wi-Fi service that is being provided by NRENs to learners and researchers. We have deployed EduRoam in every institution that is a member of Zamri. With EduRoam, it means a student can have access to internet even if they are not in their home campus, on their home campus. So as you go about in Zambia or beyond Zambia, you can go to South Africa, you get connected to internet at no cost using the service called EduRoam. So this is a big initiative.
Right.
Not only this initiative, we have ensured that we have been able to deploy Moodle. Moodle is an open source application, which is a learning management system. We've been able to deploy Moodle, and we're the champions of Moodle in Southern Africa. So learners or lecturers, teachers can upload content now on Moodle, and students are able now to have access to Moodle because we've been able to deploy EduRoam everywhere in the country. So learners can learn anywhere. They can have access to this content anywhere. We've been able to deploy EduRoam at Kenneth Kaunda International Airport. This is our biggest airport in Zambia, the international airport, meaning that researchers, in case you travel to Zambia, you want to continue teaching, you can go and sit at Kenneth Kaunda International Airport at no cost. You have your lecture delivered. Or you can go to our biggest mall in Lusaka called the Eastpark Mall. We have been able to deploy EduRoam there. So you can go and learn. As long as you are also able to upload your content on Moodle, your students have access to learning materials. Not only this, we are also looking at partnerships where we can broker for devices, because a device is the ultimate goal that a student would like to have, an equipment that a student would like to have. So we would like to broker laptops, tablets, smartphones, so students are able now to connect. And we have also been able to procure Zoom licenses. With Zoom licenses, meaning that a lecturer now can teach using Zoom licenses. And they will be communicating to their students.
Right.
They have already uploaded their content on Moodle. They're able to connect to internet through Eduroam. They have the Zoom licenses. What is missing is the gadget.
Right.
So we'd like to now broker gadgets so that learners can have a complete cycle for their learning.
Seamless cycle, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. That's what we're doing. So when you are looking at these initiatives, actually, we are here with the ultimate for the students.
Right. So this is how you're bridging the gap between academic research and practical applications within the learning in a,
exactly.
Sector.
In addition to that, we have high-performance computing.
Of course.
You know, with high-performance computing, meaning that researchers now can process their data at a fast rate. This could be huge amount of data, which normally you cannot use a laptop, a desktop, or any other gadget to process this data. You need machines that would process this data at a fast rate. Results are needed. Results are needed in time to make timely decisions. To make timely decisions, you need equipment that can process this data in good time. So we have high-performance computing, not only for processing data, but you also need to simulate situations. You need to predict situations. For example, we are talking about climate change in Africa. We've been badly hit by climate change.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a drought. Farmers must have timely information to make decisions when to plant.
Yes.
What kind of crops do they need to plant? Because you may have little rainfall. With little rainfall, you may need certain varieties of crops which can grow thrive with little rains. So these are the things that we're doing. So the meteorological department can come and do weather predictions using high-performance computing. So all these are initiatives that Zamarin is doing, or Zamarin has embarked on, or Zamarin has been able to actualize.
So do you have more initiatives planned where you're able to get international funding or international research grants in your country? Like, I mean, World Bank or European Union.
That has been a bit difficult for us to break into the World Bank. And if there will be any help for us to get into World Bank funding to do more than what we have done so far, that would be welcome. Mm-hmm. But under the European Union funding, we do access that funding through the alliance, the WantoNet Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
The WantoNet Alliance has been able to source funding through the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
We had at first the Africa Connect Project 1, 2, 3, and these were meant to reduce or to bring down the cost of connectivity. When I was talking about us reducing the cost of connectivity, it was not by us as Zamarin, but through a partnership with European Union through the WantoNet Alliance. So yes, we do access funding through the European Union. But in addition to this funding, we have got other partners in America, the Network Startup Resource Center of University of Oregon. They have been very good partners of us. They have assisted us with equipment, switches, network switches. You know, to connect these institutions that we have connected so far, we need some good funding in terms of equipment. So we have been able to have some funding from Network Startup Resource Center of University of Oregon. We applaud them and we're grateful to them. Also, we have also partnered with the Center for High Performance Computing in South Africa. The high performance computing that we have, we do not have the skills ourselves.
Okay.
We have been able to come and train our researchers how to use high performance computing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we do have some partnerships and we can see some results that are coming forth through these partnerships.
Right. Your previous role, you were a chief technology officer, you were a CTO.
Yes, I was the chief technical officer.
So with that experience, I think you come with an overall roundup experience for you to understand the business challenges and understand the technology as well, like an all-rounder.
Oh, yes. Caught me napping because I didn't know that you had that information. Yeah, so yes, it has helped me a lot because I've been able to understand things from a technical perspective,
mm-hmm.
now to administration perspective.
So maybe you can kind of explain how is cloud transforming the learning in the learning education that space, especially through your initiatives, through Xamarin's initiatives. And I wanted to also understand how partnerships like the one that we have today with Ubuntu, Net, and AWS and Redington, how do these partnerships enable you?
Yeah, let me start by saying this. You know, NRENs are not for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're not for profit, and most institutions are government-funded institutions, limited resources, competing needs among the citizens, among different services that the government provides.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that with limited budgets that institutions have, it means limited infrastructure. We are talking now about moving to a digital world. And there is a call, every country is talking about digital transformation. With digital transformation, it means you have to keep your data somewhere. Data grows.
Yes.
As data grows, it means you may not have the resources to keep that data. Unless you have legislation that tells you you can do away with this data after this period of time.
Yes.
And once it specifies 5 years, it means every year there's an incremental increase of data. Where do you keep that data as it increases? It means you don't have storage capacity. You don't have enough space to store your data. And therefore, we see that cloud computing comes in handy, solves all the problems that institutions might not have,
mm-hmm.
might have. But since there's a limited budget, now it calls for you to go on the cloud. Because on the cloud, you don't have any limitation to storage.
Mm-hmm.
So based on your requirements, if you are going to have this data for 5 years, the cloud will keep your data for 5 years. The cloud will keep your data for 10 years. Therefore, this agreement that has been signed today between the UbuntuNet Alliance on behalf of member NRENs,
yes.
is going to resolve the problem of space, digital space. Where do they keep this data? It's important to notice here that learning as it is now requires three formats. There's a video,
mm-hmm.
and video occupies a lot of space. There's audio and there's text. Institutions cannot manage to keep all these data formats in audio, in video, and text. It requires capital investment. Outside institutions, the organization like the Amazon Web Services, who have invested heavily into the cloud with good pricing, negotiations that have taken place already, we see that learning institutions in Zambia can benefit a lot in terms of storage space.
So today, what do you think is the biggest challenge for learning institutes?
The biggest one of it is skills to transform from the manual to the digital. This mm-hmm. is a digital world. So we need to capacitate our citizens with the digital skills. How do they manage the digital world that has come? We have a problem of skills in artificial intelligence. We need to blend all these skills, and therefore we need to upscale skills in our citizens to ensure that we cope with the digital era that has come in, with artificial intelligence that has come in. Otherwise, if we do not look at these, we will perish.
Right. So can technologies like cloud also help you enhance your capabilities?
Oh yes, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. We are talking about storage space here. We're
yes.
talking about cybersecurity here,
mm-hmm.
because we don't just keep your data there without cyber security solutions. So security is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
But institutions that have vested so much, enormous amounts of money into security, you need to use them. Because we are talking about skills in security.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the skills? Do we have 24/7 monitoring of these cyber attacks? We do not have.
Right. So at a government level, we need to also be talking, right?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. We do not just talk in vacuum. We always, the government is always leading and we follow. Sometimes we lead, the government follows. So it's a two-way system. The government will lead, will follow, because the government has got a vision and an agenda for the nation. And so we ourselves, we come and look at the agenda of the government. And so we complement the agenda of the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to the first question, your objectives. I want to understand for the next few years, what is your overarching vision and what kind of steps are you taking today to achieve the next phase of your vision?
Oh, thank you. The way we operate ourselves at Xamarin is that we've got a strategic plan. So our strategic plan speaks to our vision, speaks to our objectives.
Mm-hmm.
We are in this strategic plan 2023 to 2026. And the theme of that is digital transformation. Digital transformation means that I now have to get ready. Take institutions now into the digital world. What have we done ourselves as Xamarin when we're taking our institutions to a digital world? In 2022, we had a workshop, which was a digital transformation workshop. Last year, 2023, we had a workshop where we bring all the vice chancellors, all principals of colleges, all executive directors, ICT people, librarians together. And so we take them through these workshops. Last year, we're looking at digital tools to help learning in universities and colleges and schools. So we're looking at tools. What are the digital tools that we have that we can use in order to actualize our strategic plan? So we took all these institutions, talking to them about the tools that are there that they can use. This year, we're going to have our workshops in Livingston from 6th to 9th of August. We'll be looking at learning management system. So we are building on. So when you look at learning management system, for us, we're looking at the Moodle. Moodle is an open source. So we're looking at Moodle as a learning management system. So we are building on. So we are preparing these institutions to implement what we call as digital transformation. How are they going to implement? So we are taking them through our workshops, preparing them to be ready for digital solutions.
Thank you, Stain. Before I let you go, can you just kind of elaborate on how did you get into the space of technology? And how many years ago was that? And any examples or any experiences that you'd like to share?
Yeah, okay. When I was young, I had an uncle, the young brother to my father, who was a computer programmer. So he would do a lot of programming. I envied him, but I didn't know that I would actualize that today. So when I finished my secondary school, what came into my mind was to become an accountant.
Okay.
But I did not become an accountant. Then I was picked in to do mining metallurgy.
Okay.
So when I did mining metallurgy, I think 2 years down the line, I didn't like working shifts, you know, mm-hmm. day shift, afternoon shift, night shift.
Yes.
So then in 1998, I made a decision to go and study computer science at Copperbelt University in Kitwe. So I was picked. So in 1999, I enrolled into computer science. And so I did my computer science up to 2021. Then each year, as a student, I used to go for internship at Konkola Copper Mines, that is under KCM, Konkola Copper Mines Limited. So I used to go for internship. So my liking there was not in software development, but it was in networking.
Right.
So I started my networking whilst as a student. So in Then thereafter, I joined the mines. I also joined, I moved to Copper Belt University. And lucky enough, they sent me now to go and study. I did my master's at Makerere University in Uganda, which was data communication and software engineering. So if you look at that, then it stirred a lot of interest in me and done some short courses, many of them in Netherlands, in India. And so those really have built me to understand ICTs and also just to have that passion to see that learning institutions in Zambia can transform into the digital world to ensure that students have good connectivity. Because when I was a student, I did not have that opportunity to have good internet facilities where I could go and do my research. I didn't have. So I don't want those that are coming behind me, including my children, not to have that opportunity. So that is where I drive a lot of passion to ensure that we can do all these ICTs for our learners and researchers in our country.
Thank you, Stan. I think your passion is very inspiring. And hopefully we'll have you again on the show again.
Please do call on me anytime.
I'm yes, available. For sure.
Yeah, we can talk about others. But again, in the ICTs, I've got that passion to ensure that we can share good stories with
Wonderful.
Our colleagues.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.